Man, I want to receive. I want to be mentored by that person who's going to challenge me, you know, to the next level, and who's going to push me and who's going to see things in me that I don't realize in myself.
Firehouse Vigilance presents The Weekly Scrap, a podcast dedicated to the never-ending fight against complacency.
Corley Moore, Firehouse Vigilance, Weekly Scrap number 118. It's officially here, the Mega Scrap Alpha. I'm super excited. I am totally blown away with who I am lucky enough to have as my guests. Chief Mike Walker, OKC Fire Department, Chief Scott Thompson from the Colony, and Chief Walt Lewis from Orlando Fire. We got two bugles, three bugles, four bugles, five bugles, and that's the introduction, because we're going to do nothing but talk about mentoring and field questions tonight. Not going to spend a long time introducing you guys. Instead, I want to dive right in. Is there anything anybody wants to add?
Yep, good enough.
Let's do it.
All right, here we go. Audience, get your questions primed and ready. I'm kind of just in awe right now that I get to have this conversation. I'm going to start off with opening question, diving right in. Define mentoring in words. I say that even a truckie can understand. So as simple as you can put it, define mentoring in your own words, because I want to make sure that we're all on the same page as far as the language we are using. So I'll start with Chief Mike Walker.
Okay, so I got to put it where a truckie would understand it?
That's the goal.
All right. You see that guy, Corley Moore? Do what he does.
Well said.
Sorry, no, but seriously, it would. It's helping somebody that if somebody wants to be better, a better version of themselves, a mentor's who helps them get there.
Nice, Scott Thompson.
It's forming a relationship to invest in somebody's future.
Perfect. And Walt Lewis,
pulling people up.
So yeah, I like it. I like it. I like it. I said, make sure that we're all on the same page as far as, I don't think there's any disagreement on what mentoring means. And you got, all of you said the same thing, investing in the future, pulling people up. It's all the same thing. And so the original opening question I wanted to ask is, what does the fire service get right? And where do we completely miss the mark? I'm throwing this one to Chief Thompson and saying, go with it.
So, you know, I think we do a pretty good job at traditional mentoring, the mentoring that you and I are all probably familiar with, where a senior member seeks out a junior member or vice versa, and they kind of form their relationship and the investment is there. But I think, you know, my reason for this whole formal mentoring is I want everybody in the organization, or I think everybody in the organization should be able to benefit from a mentoring relationship. So the first part of your question would be that it's somewhat sporadic. I think as a fire service in a very technical hands-on job that we need to start teaching our young men and women firefighters at the technique level and then advance to the tasks and the tactics and strategic stuff. And so the first area is probably not making mentoring available to everybody. I mean, we do a good job of coaching. So that's the first thing. The second thing is, and I I've tracked all the mentoring things that I've sent out, the programs, what works and what doesn't, is there's not support from the top. If the chief doesn't support it, it's not going to happen. You know, you have the situation where you have a bunch of motivated mentors and they want to do this and they walk in their firehouse and they got a senior guy or captain saying, we're not doing that shit. You know, we didn't sign up for that. And so now that person is deflated. And then the third thing is we don't give the mentoring tools. Mentoring is a great opportunity for committing to the term I like to use, the chosen culture, but really to get the organization to be more alike than different. But to do that, we got to provide mentors with some tools so that they know what the end game looks like. And so I think those are three things that probably we don't get right. On the other side, I mean, I've seen some tremendous investments by senior members and younger members that have just formed this thing on their own. And there's a passion there to carry on and keep things, you know, at a level that's way above average. So that would be my thought on that.
No, I'm already starting to see a problem with my format, because whoever gets to go first gets to get the easy low-hanging fruit, and the other guys have to dig deeper. So kicking it next. Same question. What does this fire service get right, and where do we completely miss the mark? Walt Lewis, what is your take?
Well, yeah, anytime you do a parade, you put your worst band first. So if you could put Scott at the Mac from now on, that'd be great.
I tried to rotate it, but go ahead.
All right. Appreciate the opportunity. What we do right, it's that taking those guys under the wing when they want to be taken under the wing. But sometimes we don't recognize when those people want to be that way, or sometimes we don't push them enough. But I think where we missed the mark and touching a little bit on Scott's point, I'm just going to use first names because we're all chiefs in the room. So, we'll all agree. We'll all answer if you call it. is that I don't think we sometimes communicate our message. If we don't have a formal mentoring program, sometimes we don't communicate what our intention is in the right manner. So some people take it as picking on me or bullying, which is not to be accepted. We shouldn't be bullying in the firehouse, but there is some chiding or maybe some joking around that can happen. That helps develop some bonds, but with the right level, right? So with the right respect and also the ability of somebody to say, hey, not today, or, hey, man, that was over the line. And that's the one and done. There ain't no pushing it. Can't you take it? No, because whatever's going on, that person doesn't have that level. But I think that comes from years back where we don't know what kind of stress you've been under. We don't know what your performance is going to be. So if we give you a little bit of stress and joking with you, then if you blow up so easily, man, that could really cost you your life or hurt me in the same sense. So, hey, man, we're just trying to walk through this. But mentoring is helping develop people so that they can be the best version of themselves. And I try to mentor my kids. I want them to, my son says, Dad, I want to be just like you. No, I want you to be better than me. I want you to spare the agony of learning the things the hard way that I did and be the better version of you that you're going to be. And your future is going to have so much more opportunity. But in the fire service, I don't know if we communicate to the individual well enough what the intention is of what we want to get out of you. And because of so many of those members of the fire service that are new coming in that may not have had those exposures of being in formal groups because maybe they spent a lot of time on video games and all they did was talk on a headset instead of live people and interact, they missed some of those marks. And that's just one small group, one small perspective. And I could go lateral on a lot of things, but I'm going to leave it at that.
Nice, nice. No, and that's good. And then finally, Chief Mike Walker.
So a lot of this is going to sound pretty similar out of Chief Thompson's book, because that's kind of been my guiding text for the last couple of years. One of the things that I think we need to do a better job is defining what right is, because especially if you get into a larger organization, there's a lot of different, subcultures within your department. So, what is our purpose? What is right look like? And then helping our personnel, in a deliberate fashion, helping them achieve, better, not perfect, just continual better, that open mindset, continual, that striving for excellence, but making it where it's fun almost undertakes it or cuts the rug out from under it. But it should be something that is fulfilling. It should be something that, and I think is the fire department, and kind of to reiterate what Walt was saying, is we have so many different, people that are their style may be to browbeat somebody. We still have, the problem with, when is it good firehouse fun? When is it hazing?
Right.
When are we shutting someone down? When are we including them? And, I talk about this with our troops, is that inclusiveness isn't a politically correct word. Inclusiveness is making sure that everybody knows that they are truly part of our family, that they're truly part of our team. Because just like it's like Walt said, when his kid said, "Hey, I want to be like you, Dad," right? Whenever somebody on that crew feels like, "Hey, I'm part of Corley Moore's crew," that they start looking like, "Man, that's what I want to be. That's what I want to do." And then we have and to finish out, to reiterate what Chief Thompson was saying, what Scott was saying. Sorry, he always gets on me for calling him Chief. is what is our chosen culture? What is our purpose? And then we have to be deliberate about teaching that. And it has to be something that if we just let it be passive, we let too much pass away before we tend to it.
begin with the end in mind. I think someone says that in a book. If not this, then what? I love it, man. I love it. Great, great opening, man. Okay. So I'm going to catch you up with the comments coming at you from the people, which is let's go. Oh, yeah. Been waiting for this. Let's go. There's a lot of good ones coming from everybody. Thanks for chiming in. Thanks for the greetings. Everybody is hyped. Yes, I'm seeing if there's any questions that I've missed so far. If you have questions on mentoring, that's the common theme of tonight is mentoring, creating a culture of mentoring. That is the theme. So if you have questions, throw them out there so I can get to them. They say communication can make or break an apartment. I agree with you, Andrew McGinn. All right, we're looking good. Lots of hype for this. Justin Lorenzen says, Corley, quick question for the Chiefs. Okay, so you guys ready for the first audience question? It's coming from J-Lo.
Bring it.
All right. I haven't even read the question. I trust J-Lo this much. I'm just reading this question blind. How important is it in a mentoring process to vet the actual mentors that will be giving advice to the members of our departments looking for guidance? And let me see who's up next on my little wheel of who's answering first. And it's going to go to Chief. Where are we at? Right?
Walt.
Chief Walt Lewis.
I'll take it.
Go.
It's incredibly important because you want to make sure the right message and the right character, the right persona is setting the image that you want as a mentor. If they come off and they want to demean the person that's coming in, like Mike said, you're going to shut them down. If they don't have the job knowledge, and some agencies, you know, aren't working fires every week, every month, every year. But if that person isn't very engaged in the fire service, they're not going to have some of the tools and techniques that maybe that student's learning, you know, looking for. So you want to make sure that that person can really provide. But sometimes the very interested and less skilled is better than the uninterested but very skilled. So you got to be temperate, and it depends on the agency. From Orlando, I got a plethora of people I can pick from. So I could say no to a couple and say yes to others that didn't even ask. But some agencies don't have that opportunity. So it may just be very selective, but I think it's very important that you ensure that person is the right person.
Nice. Anybody, anything to add to that?
No, I just real quick, everything that Walt said, but mentors can also do great harm. And I think that's the opposite kind of side of it is they're a huge influence. This person is trusting this mentor to position them, as I say, for success and survival and prevent them from drifting towards failure. And so they're going to be very influenced by the behavior and so forth. And, you know, one of the things that I heard from mentors early on was if somebody went to paramedic school or came out of the academy, the first thing they would say is, forget about everything you just learned. I'm going to teach our way. Well, that's not mentoring. I mean, there's a way of getting around to that more tactfully, but that's kind of not the approach. So it's really important. And mentoring really is a tremendous honor and it's a privilege. And I think only those that have aspired to do that and have put forth a little effort to prepare to do that deserve that. It's certainly not for everybody. And it's really not a it's your turn thing.
Right. Fair. Question. Or Chief Walker, do you want to add to that? I don't want to put you, I mean, they cover so much ground. It's hard to say. I don't want to put you on the spot like you have to add. But at the same time, I don't want to cut you off.
Okay, so this is going to sound wishy-washy, but on yes, if you can pick who the mentors are going to be, one of the things that I've said before is that if we don't choose mentors, the firefighter will go choose their own. And who we don't have necessarily control over that. With that being said, there's also, all the officers on the department have to, Keith Bryant was keen of saying it's never underestimate your influence. And so one of the things that we're trying to get our officers to understand some of the things that we're starting to do is to realize is that there is mentoring opportunities. Not only are you the boss, you're the manager, you're the coach, but you're also there's mentoring opportunities if you take it. So trying to get people to understand that they, because of who they are in the department, mentoring is going to exist or is going to occur, and they need to treat that with special care. But if you have an opportunity to pick mentors and people that are doing the right thing the right way, obviously I think it's good to foster that and nurture that.
Nice. Chad Small wants to know, question, starting low, What is the difference between a mentor and a coach? And I know you touch on this in, you know, your thing, but I'll throw it to Chief Thompson to field that. The difference between mentoring and a coach.
That's a great question. This is how I define it. Coaching is providing feedback for the here and now. Do this, don't do that. Try this, watch me, try it again, do this, do it again. Mentoring, like I said, is positioning people for long-term success. Now, all mentors are coaches. All coaches aren't mentors, right? So mentoring is I understand the big picture of what it takes to survive, to succeed as a firefighter, a driver, whatever it is, and I'm helping get you there. I'm showing you the tricks, the tips, giving you advice, trying to get you someplace. Coaching is trying to get somebody to perform in a certain way. So that's how I kind of define it too. And that's a great question, and it's confusing. But mentors have to be coaches. Not all coaches are mentors.
Nice. Anything you want to add? Other chiefs. That's who I'm throwing out there.
Yeah. Okay. Mentors use coaching.
Nice. Is there, Steve Robertson wants to know, he's asking a question for success here. Is there a point when you cut your losses with someone not putting forth the effort? Do you guys have any sort of system or I don't even want to say system, but some sort of checklist in your own minds that you guys use when it comes to?
Well, can you follow up? Like is the one who's being mentored or the one you need to be a mentor that you would.
I'll see. Well,
let's answer both sides.
I like both sides. Chief Walker, I'll throw it at you. Which side do you want?
If I'm looking at it, you know, do you ever give up on somebody? I think there's the short answer is sometimes yes. Sometimes an employee relationship is just not going to work out. Somebody can't do the job. It's not a fit for them. But what concerns me in the mistakes that I've made in the past, I think I gave up on somebody emotionally too fast. They weren't my cup of tea. And I started to give up on them. And there was, you know, there's a couple of times that some of my mentors pointed it out to me, and I'm glad that they did. I think sometimes we give up on people too soon. Now, again, I don't know this guy's situation. Sure. I don't want to judge him in that, but it's one of those, you know, you start those simple questions. Does the kid want to be there? If the kid wants to be there, you can almost make chicken salad out of that. You can almost get him there. But sometimes you different people are motivated different ways. Again, not knowing his exact right. situation. But yeah, there are sometimes, yeah, it's just not going to work out. But man, it's got to be the last resort.
I can give you a personal example. It's probably at any one time I'll have six or seven people that have reached out to me, say, hey, you know, will you be my mentor and ask me to do that? And some very quickly will drop off, maybe after we meet two or three times and just realize that my information isn't valuable or the philosophies, it doesn't fit their situation. And so that's pretty common. But the other side of the thing that I kind of want to mention on this is if you think about what we're trying to accomplish, right, is investing in somebody. When you have a formal mentoring process, and this is really why I'm such a huge fan of it, but when you have a formal process and you actually have designated mentors, those mentors take ownership.
Nice.
And now they're I call them a learner. I don't like the word mentee. That learner's success is now a reflection of that mentor. And so when you get to that point, a lot of really cool things happen. And I say that to say is those people are really working to make it work and fighting off any opportunity to give up. Does it happen occasionally? And sometimes we have to change mentors because the chemistry is not there. There's maybe a big generation gap or, you know, there's always that. But one of the big things about formal mentoring process is I think the ownership and saying, I'm going to be a mentor. That's like saying, hey, I'm going to do my best to see that we have success in this relationship.
Right. Love that. Chief Lewis.
So continuing the sentence is sometimes that mentor realizes I can't connect. So I'm going to try and find one that does. So before I give up on that guy, using Mike's point is, hey, Corley, this guy needs help. he can do good. He's got it in him. He just doesn't. I just can't make that connection. See what you can do to get out of him. You know, you know his brother. If there's somebody else that has a connection or something else, but sometimes it comes down to, hey man, hey horse, there's the water. I can only do so much.
It's right there.
You got to step up. So, you know, and as an instructor, when we teach the fire academy, when we teach from the basics and build up, when we teach educated firefighters more, whatever it is, sometimes we don't get that connection. We got to apply similar principles. In the formal program, it should have those laterals and have them available so that it encourages success. In the informal sense, you've got to have the humility as a mentor to realize, you know, maybe I just am not communicating it right, but maybe it's also my mental state of mind. Maybe things going on in my life are just putting too much forward pressure on me, and I'm not connecting well because I'm not communicating well, or I just don't have the energy for it. So having that humility to pass the torch, to like, listen, that I don't know if I'm the best fit right now, but I got a friend that would perfect for you right now, and I think you should talk to him for a little bit. Whatever the verbiage you need to say to sell it, but enable the opportunity as much as you can. But it does come to a point where sometimes you have to make it structured. Here's exactly what you need to do. Here is all your basic instructions. And when you're ready, when you want to be a better version of you, I'm happy here, happy to be here to contribute. And I know other people that will do it too, but you're going to have to make those steps. Because as for right now, this is all that you're going to give.
Beautiful. That's a good answer.
I think it's what Walt's saying is huge. And it's one of those that if you have somebody who's the learner, who's not stepping up, I think it's not an easy conversation to have because you, especially if you have somebody, hey, Corley, would you be my mentor? Yeah, I'd be happy to be your mentor. And then, you know, they're not doing their part. It's hard for Corley I know it is for me to look at somebody and say, man, you said this, you said you wanted to do this, but you got to do that. And I'm seeing a disconnect there. And how do you, you got to have that conversation with them,
right?
To let them know you just can't let it be some passive aggressive side stare like, nah, I'm done with you. You know, it also needs to be deliberate.
Beautiful. And that's a problem I have. And I've identified it with myself is I give a lot more weight to effort than I do to results. And so, but that's also the opposite. I give a massive amount of distaste for lack of effort. And so, anyway, I don't know how that plays into it, but I have to be careful of it. All right, moving on. There's tons of questions, guys. Keep them coming because I will try to get to them. What are I like that one, Chris Below. Chris Below had a great one. I'm going to try and save that for the next five questions for firefighters. I'm collecting a lot of questions. Do you believe, Justin Turner wants to know, do you believe that mentors should be assigned to our newest members as soon as they are hired? I think I know which direction this question is going to go, but I'll throw it to Chief Thompson first. I'm not sure where I'm at on my wheel of question answers. Go ahead.
Absolutely. And now this is a personal preference thing, but in our system, and we're not there across the board, but the way our system's designed, the mentor meets the new hire on day one, first minute of the first day. And we have kind of a choreographed script about taking responsibility for your safety and your welfare and kind of setting up the expectations and making sure that that person understands what they're getting into. And then they say, you know, let's go in and let's meet your family. So I believe, yes. And the reason I say that is, a lot of times success depends on the environment that person is put into. If they're put into a high performance fire company, chances are they're going to do good things. If they're put into the opposite of that, you know, the human nature is to kind of settle in. So I think we want to start that mentoring relationship before any bad habits form or any misinformation, rumors and so forth. Because I believe that, you know, that first day for sure, in those first couple of days in a firehouse, that's a stressful time, and that can go a lot of different ways. You know, somebody can be targeted in the first 5 minutes as such and such and really written off for a career. We do that sometimes. So,
oh, yeah.
So I think the earlier that we can match that up, and the other part of mentoring that a lot of times we don't think about is there's obviously the trust between the mentor and the learner. But then there's the trust between the mentor and all the other members of the organization, and where a member may not have the courage, the tact, or the desire to go to the new hire and say, you're messing up. They can go to that mentor and say, here's a problem, and this is what we're seeing. And then that mentor, because he or she has built that relationship, can tackle that, have a discussion about it. So I absolutely think the sooner the better, and not just for new hires. I think also with our newly promoted, because we really want to get them moving in the right direction from day one.
Michael Walt, any dissenting opinion or anything to add?
My short answer is yes, and make sure it's somebody that's fully invested, engaged in the department, somebody that will really lead them in the right direction. That's all.
How important is the alignment of values, I guess, is, you know, understanding the values of your department and what you're trying to espouse in picking those mentors?
It's huge. Yeah. And so, yes, you absolutely should. And we handle that a couple of different ways. Whenever recruits, they get assigned to a station, the officers will assign basically a senior firefighter to show them the ropes and to be that mentor. But we also... we assign them a mentor that's gone through our formal mentoring program, and they're helping them, you know, that recruit, that whenever they're not quite sure of the etiquette or how to do things while they're still building that relationship. And so we have a couple of different mentors that we try to get for the recruits. But having them aligned to your values, if you don't, they're going off in some rogue direction, and you're setting that recruit up for failure if you don't.
At best, rolling the dice and hoping it lands where you want
exactly.
it.
Exactly.
And Corey, let me just kind of, and I'm trying to think how I tactfully say that.
Okay.
But those departments who, when you hire somebody, they don't have a home for the first year. In other words, they're your permanent swing person. You're missing a tremendous opportunity to really set the hook and you know, hopefully they'll be okay. But it's almost like an orphan child. You know, they don't have anybody who's really investing them, and one day they're at station five, the next day they're at station three, and they're just bouncing around. And you know, I understand that's the way things are always been done, and that's just the way it is. You've got to earn your position, but I don't think there's any science or logical explanation how that helps develop somebody, how that really positions them for success. And I just think sometimes that can maybe lead to people being written off or failing prematurely had they had a little different experience. Just throwing it out there.
No, I like it.
Yeah, we consideration. Chief, I agree with you. We don't loan our recruits for the very same reason why you're just saying what you're saying.
Yeah, we do the same thing. Everybody stays in their first seat for 90 days at least, and then we try to lex, you know, for the same reason.
At least let them figure out where the, you know,
right,
where the bathroom is in their bunk, and then we'll go. Right.
Well, even if you can't, even if they have to be the, you know, the low man moves or whatever the culture is in your department, if they have to be, I like to give them a home, which is their crew, their home, their captain, their driver. So they belong to it, even though they're bouncing around, but they know where their home is.
Right.
In theory. So, because some people don't have the luxury, but beautiful, man. Right. Beautiful. I'm loving this. Do you, John Ryan Buchan wants to know, do you have a structure or a chain of command in your mentorship program so if the mentor has an issue, they can look to help themselves? So is it tiered with mentors all the way up and down, basically?
Ours is.
Somebody else take that.
Yeah, ours is.
Everybody's. And that's what I want to ask. Does everybody have a formal mentoring program in your departments, the three right here?
Yes.
Deliberately built formal mentoring program. Beautiful, man. How long
have they... Ours is in a perpetual state of change and evolution, but yeah,
which is a good thing.
Sorry, you were
gonna... No, I was just going to say, if anybody wants to talk about their personal one or how long it's been in effect and the benefits, or I don't know, that's a deep rabbit hole, I know. So, but anybody wants to talk about how long they've had it or the changes they've seen from it?
Well, we hardly ever go into rabbit holes here on this show.
Yeah, no doubt.
If you don't mind, I'll start off with...
Yo.
I got on the Orlando Fire Department in 96, and looking to the future, Chief Kathy Miller saw that there was going to be a great transition in the agency. Didn't forecast 9/11 at all, but saw that there's going to be a great transition. All the guys coming off of the major hiring after Vietnam War were going to work their way out of the agency, and we're going to have to fill up a lot of ranks. Well, then 9/11 happened. We brought even more people on. At one point, In 1999, we started the FTO program, Field Training Officer Program, and I had the pleasure of joining in. My given shift, there weren't a lot of motivated people, so it kind of like, well, this guy doesn't mind working a lot, and he seems to be doing a good job, so I got enabled into the program. But as time went on, we had a lot of good people working with it. She set the tone. It set off a great setup and has a hierarchy through the training division with laterals on each shift. So this way, if I have to take vacation, hey, Corley, can you cover my guys? Formal structure with the scheduling. So it's there on a pretty routine basis, especially in the first 90 days, so that the new hires know that these first 90 days are crucially valuable. They can't time trade. Vacations have to be approved. They can't just be arbitrary. It's got to be their kids' birthday, honeymoon, something along those lines, so that we really maximize their time, their first 90. And after that, then we let them kind of get carte blanche. But this way, their training is best set so that the concrete is mixed right. And as the time goes on, then the mentors are going to change up a little bit, and it may be another person or another change up. This way, if my evaluation is a great one, it's not because we're fishing buddies or I bought my car from his dad and he gets Scott, so Scott's going to say, and they always see at least three different FTOs. This way, if there's a disparity, it can be somebody breaks the tie vote and we figure out how we need to address this person. We may extend their probation, but it covers in four different phases, 3-month blocks, and that first block includes the orientation period. So it's a very in-depth program, and like Mike said, it's changed. In 2001, end of 2001, 2002, I went to the training division. I had the opportunity to be the FTO coordinator as part of my management, and at one point, we had one quarter of the department on probation and another quarter of the department less than 5 years of service. So mentoring was crucial to us to help try and get us in the right direction with so much growth after 9/11. And that was a big part of it. And a lot of it goes to Kathy Miller for her foresight, selling it, and the Chiefs thereafter keeping it in place.
Beautiful. Other two, anything to add?
Mike?
So our recruit mentoring program, I would say it's gone really well. We have a chief, Chief Kathy Hayes was probably her, and Chief Russell Huffman have been they're the ones who have really been steering the recruit mentoring. Then Chief Lance Burnett. So they're battalion chiefs on each of the three shifts. They oversee the formal mentors on each of their shifts and help guide them. And so they are available when situations come up, and they do, and they help them along. The rest of the mentoring stuff, that's what's in a state of change right now. And I'll talk about that probably in one of the later questions. But, yeah, we do have a rank structure. We do make it to where the mentors have somebody to reach out to. We're trying to beef up ongoing training for those mentors, making more resources available for them, articles, books. Like if they come across, the learner who's needing they need help in a certain area. We're trying to make those resources not just on the technical level, but maybe it's a confidence issue. Maybe it's a listening issue. Trying to make those resources more available to the mentors so they can help those people out better.
Nice. Investing in the mentors, not just the mentees.
Exactly.
Very nice.
I just want to add real quick and give credit where credit is due. I mean, I've been on the receiving end of some great mentorship informally, but I never really began to think about it and understand it until I went to work for Rick Lasky in 2002. And, that was something where he had just come into Louisville and he was trying to change the culture. And he introduced me first to the mentor book, which was a very rough draft and kind of said, hey, let's make something out of this. And then from there, I became fascinated by it. But it was certainly Rick who turned me on to it and got me thinking about it. And then just seeing the results in that organization under his leadership and just having a bunch of great, great folks, I said, man, this is too valuable to pass by. And, you know, I've said it once, I've said it 100 times. I think mentoring is the future of fire service leadership and learning. And those organizations that embrace it are going to have a much easier time in the future with the world that's ahead of us. And so, our process now is I think the third generation. So we've done the same thing. We've kind of formally improved it each time and kind of made that a process in its own. But, that, yeah, I just wanted to kind of add in, the influence that Rick had on me in realizing the power of mentoring.
I'm breaking this. I'm showing this right here real quick to everybody because I'm getting a lot of questions on how do you start a mentorship program in, and I'm putting that fireserviceleadership.com.
So it's free. It's free. You got to put in a little information. That's the only way I could make it work. But change it any way you want. Do whatever you don't have to give me any credit. The only thing I ask is that you don't turn it out there and start charging people $1,500 a day on a class. But don't give me any credit. Make it fit your organization. If you got questions, call me. I'll help you any way I can.
So it's
I'm going to counter that. Give him credit.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And then put it to good use.
Oh, well,
but yeah, if you have a question on how to start it, that is a blueprint. You can get it for free. It's available at fireserviceleadership.com. Not a sales pitch because there's nothing to buy. You go put in your email and you get it. So absolutely. Okay.
I'm a terrible businessman.
this is one of the most valuable documents you can get, and it's free. I'm looking here for the questions. Fire culture. Vetting, yes, it is important. Guys, I'm catching up on questions. What are George Robertson Jr. wants to know, and I'll let you guys give your top three or whatever. What are the desirable traits that you look for when picking mentors for new firefighters? And I'll throw it to Chief Walker. Let him kick it off.
So they've got to be patient. They've got to enjoy teaching someone and guiding them, but realizing that it's. You know, but they've also got to have the courage to be honest.
Nice. Chief Thompson.
You have to be a student, number one, and stay on top of the right way and the wrong way from a skill standpoint and organizational standpoint. You have to be committed. You got to be ready to go through the rough times and the patches and stick with it. And then the last one, I'll agree with Mike and say, you got to be patient. Everybody learns at a different speed. You know, one of the things that I had a very difficult time adjusting to when I became a fire chief is that not everybody has the same level of passion that I do. And that's okay. But that's hard sometimes. You want to reach out and say, why don't you love this job? Right. And once you get past that, you sleep a lot better at night and you're a lot more relaxed. So, you know, we got to understand we're seeing a generation, and this is not a dog at all, but maybe they never participated in a team sport. And so they don't understand teamwork. They don't have a brother and sister. They don't understand brotherhood. We got to mentor them on those things. You know, the firehouse life, just as much as we do, is going out and stretching a line, throwing a ladder, you know, performing a search. So it's the whole package of positioning this person where they can have a long and fulfilling career and be the best person they can be.
Fair enough.
If they put forth the effort, and it's definitely a two-way thing.
Chief Lewis.
A different version of words. Passionate, have grace, and good job knowledge.
I love it, man. There you go. If you get nothing else in the answer to that question, man, this has already been a mega scrap. Andrew McGinn wants to know, can a lower guy try and mentor up without stepping on toes?
Yeah.
Chief Lewis, go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes it's a grassroots effort. You know, sometimes you're the new guy coming into the senior firehouse. It's the junior man's got 20 years. So in coming in, you're bringing in the enthusiasm and you're bringing in some of the outside conference knowledge. You know, Chief Thompson talks about it, of the young guy that goes out and comes back, and to the old dogs that don't want to learn the new tricks, sometimes that disconnect starts to occur. So being that young guy, so you got to do it gracefully. You know, you got to make sure your message is being heard and that you're not stepping on toes. So you got to have that grace. And then coming in and applying it appropriately. But, yeah, you can come up from the bottom and offer little nuggets. And sometimes you're just going to be the lone voice. I mean, that's where the Fools was born out of, is some of those soul voices in the firehouse or the fire department that really was passionate about the job. And that's another connection that mentorship can occur. But it can easily start from the bottom and work its way up, because eventually you'll not be the brand new guy. You'll be the next to know brand new guy, and you can go lateral. And I've seen that flourish in the current firehouse I'm in. I got a lot of young guys, and they all work off of each other, and they mentor each other. And it works out great. So, yes, I see it can happen.
Beautiful. Chief Walker.
It absolutely can happen. I was always – I was 19 when I got hired. So I was the young energetic kid that wanted to do everything, you know, but where once you gain trust with that crew, sometimes those older hands, they may even act disengaged. They may not think, oh, that's the greatest thing ever. And they may not give you that ooh, ah, you know, type thing. But little by little, you start hearing them incorporating that same thing in their talk. But again, you can't dumbass them. You can't, you know, you guys suck type thing. That will turn them off. As the word that Walt's used a couple of times, which is grace. Throw it out there and just and try to encourage them again. What's our, you know, in your own way, in your own words, in a very sincere way, is, hey, we just want to be good, right? You want to be good, right? I want to be good. So, hey, let's maybe give this a shot. And realize it may not work the first five times you introduce it.
Nice.
That's okay.
Steve Thompson?
I think Walt said that beautifully, so I'm just going to
let it slide. I love
it. Let's go to the next question for 2000.
I love it. Where are we at? Joseph Tompkins, I'm sliding through a lot of comments, guys. No one shows up wanting to do a bad job. Okay, we got one for Walt and Mike. They excluded you, Chief.
That means I'm talking too much.
No, it's from Garrett Rice, so I think he knows your answer.
Oh. So,
he said, for Walt and Mike, what does mentorship look like at the upper ranks?
Scott Thompson.
That's a great answer.
I love you, brother.
Chief Walker, I don't know who I did first last time, so I'll throw you under the bus.
I think so. It's a lot of listening to. Okay, so if you're it's a chief, you're dealing with another chief. A lot of it is listening to what they're going through, and realizing that they want to be good at their job. And then sometimes it's a reminder. So, hey, what are you wanting to accomplish? Where are you wanting to go with this? What do you need? What do you need in this situation? And you may be hearing what their struggles are. And then helping them just the same way you would with anybody else is helping them along. But there's also a lot of it is going to be through modeling the way, as they see you act, you know, how you behave, you know, and if that doesn't work, you know, basically just show them a picture of Garrett Rice and his tattoos and his motorcycles and say, this is what you want to do. This is what you want to do, man. This is what you want to look like.
Steve Lewis.
Yeah, same thing. And now, within your organization, you know, it's if you're that senior chief, it's taking the opportunity to see those guys that are wanting to work on stuff, that are the future leaders, and tasking them with something that they can flourish on and give them the rules of the road. I mean, there's classes we take, chief officer and all the other stuff for FO 1, 2, 3, 4, to get us educated. But it's the practical experience within the walls of your agency that really teaches you. So getting that opportunity to put together a program or oversee something or a project or an idea that you got and either let it flourish or fail, at least get them the opportunity to expose themselves as to what this system works like so they know who to talk to, how to make it happen, and how to develop. Then maybe that person will be the future fire chief, and that's right there mentoring. So if you don't give them those opportunities, but if the young guys don't also speak up and ask for those opportunities, it's a failure on their part. So if you expect them to always come up with the answer – well, sometimes you're the them, and you need to do the extra work, right?
Nice.
So it's but when you've got and I'm not going to, you know, kiss Scott's butt because he's in the room, but generally when you've got somebody that's vested in the improvement of the fire service and wants to enable people to improve their agency, let alone his own, but is the, you know, any agency, by setting a good functional fire company book, or enabling the opportunity to take paperwork and apply it however you want to, use it for free, make the best of it. That right there laterals into other agencies and allows those that are just kind of have some dead wood or people that don't know where to turn or what to do, the opportunity to go somewhere else. So you'll never know really how many impacts you have until maybe you're at your funeral. So and that's a sad moment, you know, you know, you've got a lot of great speeches about somebody that ain't going to hear them. But if you're one of those higher levels, and I'm a lower level, I'm a district chief. I've taken the assistant chief's test. I sat on the list for a number of years. Some real good people got promoted and picked for the right reasons. I love the job I've got. If that opportunity comes my way, I'll look forward to it, but I'll cherish what I've got and I'll try to do what I can for the people below me. But if my opportunity goes above, I'll try to give those same opportunities to the people below me, because that's what develops that chain of graduation. And if it doesn't happen, it's going to falter. And the agency you have, you've got the ability to maintain the culture by enabling your influence and then perpetuating it. If you don't, it's just, it's going to become something else, and it may not be what you want it to be.
It's rolling the dice.
Something else I want to throw
go,
in real quick.
Go, always.
A lot of it's reinforcement. Whenever that that new chief says, hey, this was the situation, and they spell it out, if they're hitting the marks where they exuded the values, they were empathetic, they did a lot of good things, point that out, you know, because, again, it's you're dealing, especially at the chief level, you're dealing with such so many more personnel issues than what most people realize. I don't know if it was the same experience for you, but it's like, hey, man, you did good on that. No, it's not always easy. No, you don't always feel warm and fuzzy, but, you know, letting them know that, hey, that first reaction is probably not going to be that final reaction. That guy's probably going to come around. You did the right thing. It's just going to, it takes some soak time. Nice. So I think it's important when you're mentoring other chiefs.
Absolutely. Good questions. Good questions, guys. Beautiful questions. Beautiful discussion. Steve Stawicki had one here, and I just want to preface it by saying, because Chief Thompson touched on this. You said this is third generation, right?
Yes.
How long you been doing this as far as – it's pretty recent, correct? I mean, how many years?
Well, that, but formally since 2002.
Okay, so it's constantly evolving. And then Chief Walker
– was the first generation.
Gotcha. Chief Walker says his is constantly evolving, and Chief Lewis says his is constantly evolving. But Steve Stawicki's question is, he says, when you have a mentor program, but it is severely outdated, so in other words, it has not evolved is what I'm guessing, how do you approach administration to let them know without being disrespectful or insubordinate? So if someone came to you, and I mean, you guys are not, obviously, since you guys evolve, but if they came to you, what's the best way to handle it?
Well, so what we did whenever they did come to us, because that was one of the things that they had concerns, is, hey, we're hitting the mark on the recruits, but we're not hitting it on, you know, mid rank and upper rank. What do we do? So we basically, as corny as this sounds, we sent out a survey and said, hey, how do you all see our mentoring program? And we listened to that feedback from the rank and file, and then you go, okay, then what does it need to be? And so we got a core group of people who were bought into it. And be transparent, I had Garrett and a few of his captains actually come up to Oklahoma City and sit down with our company officers that are wanting us to do this new program, and basically, hey, how are you guys doing it? And then we're doing just like what Scott's recommending, is take what somebody else is doing, what's working, and then we're trying to make it our own.
Beautiful. Any other answers for how someone can bring it to you? Respectfully and without stepping on toes.
For us, it's been the FTOs that have pointed out where something needs to change. You know, sometimes it's not the living document it needs to be because the equipment changed and what's on a test is still old material. So that's something that needs to be, you know, addressed and qualified now and then. Maybe performance timelines. It just says must complete, but must throw a ladder and must complete a search. There's a time element involved there. So if you don't have something like that, oh, we need to add that in there. Well, how do we do that? Well, let's take somebody that's uneducated. Let's take somebody that's halfway through the program, someone's about to complete the program, and utilize a couple test cases. But let's also go to a 5-year firefighter, 10-year firefighter, 15-year service member, and get some of the balance of what's really out there. This way we're not judging too harshly or too easily. So sometimes you got to take a look at it. Easy for me to say, I'm from the cheap seats, but from the fire chief's position, HR is going to have an input. And, you know, maybe the legal department's going to have an input. So if those impacts are strong, then you may have to temper those too. But don't disclude them, because at some point they may get engaged. And maybe because you got to remove somebody. Maybe the mentoring program has showed somebody that is not a good fit for the agency and you have to remove them. You're going to have to engage that portion. So make sure that may be a little element. But I'm sure Chief Thompson and Walker can touch on that a lot better than I can.
Chief, any advice for someone who's wanting to go into their admin and tell them what they're doing wrong?
Man, you know, I always respect somebody who comes in with a well thought out plan that we can have a discussion about. You know, but I think kind of in our generations, as our process has stayed pretty much the same. When we've gone from generation to generation, what we did is we provided more tools, whether they be task books or an excellence vision, or giving them more tools. But because the organization is constantly changing, if we're going to say that mentoring is positioning people for future success, then you know, I got to go back to my saying that I love to use. You know, you got to start with the end in mind. We always got to keep our eye on what we want the destination to kind of look like. And that does change. But I would say that, you know, you take the time to define success, and mentoring is simply a way of getting there. So if you can go down and sit down with the chief and say, maybe we have a gap here, or, you know, we're not positioned for what the future is showing is happening. And I think we can address that through mentoring if we incorporate this, this, and this. I can't see why a chief wouldn't. Now, again, you got to be tactful. You can't right. be in threatening. But mentoring should be everything positive. And you got to really, you know, I always tell a story when I was on the line riding a truck. I remember, you know, right after Alan Brunicini came out with his customer service book, we got a memo on Monday and said, beginning today, we'll be a customer service organization, right? Well, that's not how customer service happens. You got to want to do it. You got to feel it. You got to take ownership. Well, mentoring is the same way. You know, you can't come out with a memo on Monday morning and say, starting today, we're going to be a mentoring organization. So I think, you know, anytime you come in and say, hey, boss or chief or whatever, I see a future challenge or a future opportunity. And I think the way that we take advantage of that is with our mentoring process. And this is how we modify it to get us to where we want to go.
Nice. Beautiful answer, man. Some good questions. And so don't kick the door in and say, chief, you're a dumbass.
All
right. Always keep in mind there's message, messenger, and delivery.
Yeah, right. right.
Beautiful. I love this question because I really want to hear your answers. What do you say to those that are poor students that desire to mentor or lead? Who am I throwing it to? Walt Lewis. I'll throw it to you.
I like Scott Hardin's phrase. Man, you got a lot of try in your heart. Sometimes it's a hard conversation, but you know what? You got to let people give them a chance to fail, and sometimes they'll succeed. So you might have that estimation on how somebody's going to be just because of their persona or their reputation, or like Scott said earlier, sometimes they get that bad name and they're still trying to shake it. You know, something came along, but if they're genuinely interested, give them some guidance on what you expect from them and build them up in bite-sized pieces. Here, I tell you what, I'm going to have you do this. You're not going to give them the full run. I'm going to have you do this. Work with just this group, and I want you to work on pumping, or I want you to work on hose stretches, and let them get that double. And then the next time, let them get a triple. And then next time, let them get a home run. Let them build up so this way they get those positives, and if nothing else, those positive reinforcements, maybe turn them in the direction that you need them to be. And then if it turns out that they cannot communicate, they're stuck in the ways where all they want to do is drive somebody in the ground, they're there to be a drill instructor, not a teacher, then listen, you're not meeting the goals of the agency. And I'm sorry, we tried, and I expected different things. And, you know, maybe at a different time we can reapproach this. But for right now, I'm going to have to go a different direction, and we're going to have you step aside for right now. You know, whatever politically way you want to say it, whatever nice way you want to say it. But sometimes when you have those people, you know, they might surprise you.
Chief Walker? Sorry.
Well, just exactly what Walt – I've had more successes doing what Walt just prescribed than I've had failures.
Nice.
So when you have that person – sometimes you're – depending on your organization – maybe there's no telling why they haven't come across the way that they want to, and they're them saying, hey, I'd like to be more involved, and that's a win right there. And then how do you feed that the right way? I mean, if they're reaching out and saying that they want to be more involved and they want to do things, I agree with Walt saying, try a little bit, build a little trust, build some success, and then add to that. But there again, if they've come to you, there's also an opportunity that if you say, oh, really? You want to do this? Because this is what this looks like. This is what this means. And you say you want to be part of this. yes, I want to be part of that. Whenever they don't hit that mark, you can let them know, and you can say it in a pretty loving but direct way. And so that's what I would do, exactly what he said. Yeah, what? So it took a long time for me to say, yeah, what he said.
No, it's beautiful. I love it. And I'm Chief Thompson.
I agree totally with what Mike and Walt said, but I'm going to go to the dark side. I'm going to take an entirely different position. I'm hardwired, and this is something I'm really passionate about.
Darth Thompson.
Let's talk about the American Fire Service, you know, and everybody listening, I'll ask this morning, if you're on duty or tomorrow when you go to work, you know, who's your quality control officer each morning? Who's the person, if you're riding the truck today, who asked, hey, when was the last time you went to a roof? When's the last time you did a search? We work in an environment where we think it's assignment by turn. You know, whose turn is it? You rode the engine last shift, you ride the truck today, and so forth. Well, the same thing applies with mentoring. You know, there, to me, mentoring is a tremendous influence, and it's something that has to be, you got to work towards it, and you have to kind of earn it, and you got to put forth an effort to get there, show that, you know, you're willing to have some skin in the game. And it, you know, people want to do a lot of things until it's time to do those things, right? We always say everybody wants to be a firefighter until it's time to, right. And it's the same kind of thing. And so, yeah, absolutely. You want to give people opportunities, but I think you have to kind of look at the track record, and you got to have the uncomfortable conversation. We don't like to do that.
Right.
Say, hey, you know, if you want to do it, I'll get you there. You're not ready right now. And this is what you guys said. But tell me what you've done to prepare for this. Is this just, you know, because promotions are coming up and you want to act like you're involved or all these other things, but we've got to get much, much better in the fire service than just putting butts in seats and saying, hey, it's your turn to ride the truck today, your turn to ride the engine today, you know, and then tonight somebody falls through the roof and immediately say, well, vertical vent is too dangerous. No, we put somebody on a roof that hasn't done it in 3 years and they failed at it. And so that's kind of a long, but I think the same thing applies to mentors. It's not a turn thing or your, you know, your chance. It's something you have to prepare for and earn. I feel very strongly about that.
No, I like it. I like it. Cause again, we talked about how important it is to pick the right mentors earlier and put them in place. And I think, but I don't think you guys are saying cut them loose and just go and then, hey, they'll surprise you. It's give them a bite sized chunk and say, can you handle this? Are you willing to, hey, you want to be a firefighter? It's time to do firefighter shit. So will you do this little bit I give you, you know, and then it's time to do mentor stuff, you know?
So I got a question for Scott on that one, just because, you know, me looking from the mid-level up. So with wanting to enable that recurrent training, for the better way of saying it, getting that guy ready to ride in that seat for a little while, it typically funds into money. You know, if you've got that ability, are you able to slide some money, or do you have a process in place to help enable that, some of that recurrent training to make sure that guy can slide back to that seat when he's been out of it for a while?
Yes and no. So yes on the front end. Okay. We don't have the situation like you're talking about where a long period of time goes by, but in our small system, in our small suburb, we're very committed to engine truck deployment model probably. And so our people are, I call it recently rehearsed at doing the same thing over and over again. We don't have so many people to where you're not going to ride the seat in a great period of time.
And your guys are training often enough that they're keeping those skills up. So it's
well, and I, you know, my expectation of the battalion chief is, you know, I'm going to trust you to put people, you know, the best team on the field. And, you know, I guess I would say I would trust them to say, hey, you know, Mike hasn't ridden a seat in 4 months. We probably need to have a conversation about that or make sure that, you know, he or she hasn't forgotten. But I certainly see what you're saying. I just think we sometimes feel like this everybody should do everything thing is the best way. And it's a way I just think we can do a little bit better.
I agree. And I'm asking just because, you know, sometimes for the field, we just say, oh, the chief's got all kinds of money and we should be able to do all this stuff. Yeah. Sometimes that's not possible.
No, you're right. And I'm very fortunate. I have a city manager that lets us spend money for our shadowing and our mentoring program. We have a very robust, as we bring somebody in with our fire shadowing and mentoring and then our EMS. And we're very fortunate. they don't count towards minimum staffing for, you know, 5 or 6, 7 shifts.
And that's an investment in people right there. That's great to see. You know, that's why I love hearing your podcast when you did with Corley earlier was, you know, just talking about how much, what little money you're putting in your people there. You don't know how much money you're saving by injuries and lawsuits and bad performance and all kinds of stuff. So
beautiful. Yeah, I love the back and forth. All right. I try to get back to my questions. The audience has been beautiful tonight, man.
We're just having a conversation with you here, Corley. Hey.
No, dude, it's great. I love it's just
that's wherever what you do best, Corley.
Informal mentoring has always existed, and it's a mainstay of the fire service. I don't think that's going anywhere. We've talked a lot about formal mentoring programs and with all that and plans. What are the obstacles that we need to overcome? What can we do to facilitate a culture of mentoring? Who wants to field it? Throwing it at you guys. I'm seeing who's breathing heaviest or who's looking.
Okay,
away.
So one of the things that we're struggling with is we're trying to get, for lack of a better word, we were going to call it station level mentoring, where it was something deliberate that the officers did, like Scott has his officers do. But we're probably going to call it professional development opportunities. But one of the things that it was, and I'm sure it's in the same forms that are in that book that Scott's giving away for free, is it's all the qualities. It's not just, you know, are you being a team player? Are you being honest? Are you being trustworthy? All of these, it's not just the hard skills. It's these soft skills that are absolutely needed for a team to be successful. And so as we're trying to teach these people how to be good in be a good teammate. This is what it looks like. This is what it means to be part of the family. I think we have to, you know, one of the discussions that we've had going back and forth is, do we need this big long list? Well, after we had the discussion is, yeah, we do. Because if we don't, we're just going to gloss over stuff. We need to look at it. Is this person being, are they being a good citizen, basically, you know? And so, I think that's one of the struggles is that I think having something that's formal where you have that checklist, where you're looking at all these different attributes, and then again, you got to make it your own. I agree with Chief Thompson on that completely, but you can't do a light version of it and do it justice. It's got to be complete if you're going to help this person get there.
Beautiful.
Or get them where you need them to be.
Yeah. No, I love the deliberateness. Chief Thompson.
I got so wrapped up in Mike's answer. Could you repeat the question, please?
That the obstacles we have to over, the obstacles that the fire service, you know, generally speaking, I mean, you guys all have formal mentoring programs in place, and that's beautiful. But a lot of places don't. What are the obstacles that need to be overcome in those cultures to make it happen? Basically,
so let's talk about culture for just a minute. You know, that's kind of my thing. But the culture is what the organization values. If as an organization, or as the leaderships in the organization, if we value learning, that the culture will value learning. Mm. And I think mentoring is a component of that organizational learning. So that's the first thing is we've got to value it, which means we've got to give it its importance. We got to make it a priority. We've got to position our people to be successful in those positions. All those things indicate that we value learning and positioning people for success. So if I have a culture or a subculture, that's you know, the battalion, the shift level, or the microcultures, which is the firehouse or the fire company, if they don't value learning and you know, I always say, use the term being above average, then you're going to have all kinds of obstacles, right? The organization is not ready for a mentoring program. You got a lot of things you have to work on first, trust probably being one of them. But if you're eager to learn, and if people understand that their success, their survivability is going to be based on how well they can do the job and how well they can depend on their brothers and sisters to do the job, then mentoring is a form of, I love traditional mentoring. Please don't get me wrong. There's nothing wrong with that. Like I said, I just think some people don't benefit. But then formal mentoring is just the next part of the process. And when you have that learning culture, then there's very few obstacles. And so that's a great question. And putting culture in there, it depends what your organization values, how many obstacles there's going to be.
Right on.
If you never train, mentoring is probably not going to be very well accepted. But if you're training all the time and you're kind of looking for the next thing,
right,
mentoring falls right in.
It's just the next progression.
And I'm sorry to interrupt you.
No, never. Chief Lewis.
I touched on a little bit of from the last segment was where I see the biggest crippling factor is finances. You know, every time some kind of budgetary woe comes along, then training is usually one of the first hit. And, you know, mentoring programs, I think ours could be expanded on easily because there's much more. We don't do enough, I don't think, for our chief officer mentoring or company officer mentoring at other agencies nearby. Informally, we do ride down days. Started before me. Several other officers did it. More of us have done it over time. Other people have gotten credit for it. Doesn't matter who does it. But as a company officer, instead of having my guy sub my seat when I'm out, he subs my seat while I'm in. So I sit in the back seat. The back seat guy who's qualified to drive is driving, and the guy that's driving is sitting in my seat, and everybody gets exposure. I get to be a firefighter a little while. And it actually kind of came about as a joke. Well, the fireman had busted chops on the lieutenant, like, man, your job's easy. You carry the clipboard and honk the little horn. Right. Oh, yeah.
Let me show you.
Let's trade seats.
There we go.
And that's where it took off. It actually became a formal, an informal, formal training session. And then you'd go for the day. And the guy in the back would be there to answer the questions for the guy sitting in front of him. And the guy on the right would be there for the guy on the left. And what a better way to teach our people. And if it's just a simple way of pushing forward a simple informal mentoring program, that's it. But if as you know, the other part is also making sure those people have the answers.
Right.
So,
and there has to be a willingness there, too.
For sure. For sure.
A lot of officers aren't going to put themselves in a position to allow their people to do those things, and they ride the back step.
But then they're not a mentor. They're a boss, and that's
exactly.
It. You know?
Exactly.
But, and there's 100 reasons as to why they're that condition, but probably they need some mentorship too. But the bigger challenge is also the money. Is if we could make it all that we want, money wasn't an issue, then we would have more education to be off shift. If Walt Lewis ran the Orlando Fire Department, there'd be no on-shift training. It'd be when you get hired, expect that your day going off is going to be 8 hours of some sort of training at least once a week. And I'm going to set up the schedule and you're going to sign up for it and ACLS and forcible entry and search and everything else because our real purpose is to run calls, right?
Right on.
So our busiest time of day is when? During the day. And we are doing what? Everything else along with that. So but Walt Lewis doesn't run the world and doesn't have a big pocket full of money to run everything. So we got to make the best we can, but money is a hindrance to it. So sometimes you got to be frugal. You got to figure out some other solutions. And then, informal setups is sometimes. So if something is better than a nothing.
The ride down day. I like it, man. I love it. Chief Walker, do you have anything to add on that one? We good?
No, I'm good. Thanks.
All right. I'm throwing out. Is there any experiences or stories of departments getting mentoring wrong? I asked this question because when I thought of it, I typed it out for you guys, and I was like, am I missing something, or is there a downside to mentoring or trying to implement a mentoring program at all? Besides, go ahead.
Chief, you got it.
No, I had one chief come up to me at a fire chief's conference when we were all talking about mentoring. And he said he didn't like the formal mentoring process because, like I hit on earlier, he felt like he was demanding that his people embrace mentoring. Okay. And that's a fair statement. But that, again, that also tells me that culture is not ready for mentoring. I think I've heard a few situations where mentoring is turned into all the things we started out with abuse and destruction and, you know, kind of a formal title to kind of pick on somebody. You know, you can do a lot of damage if all your mentoring per se is, I don't even, it may be a contradiction, is negative, but
right.
But that's the one example I can say is that the organization perceived mentoring as this is something we have to do.
The punishment almost. Versus
something where we see the value in doing it.
Right. Anybody else?
That's what
we are. In this core group that I've been helping, or basically they've been doing the lion's share of the work of this the station level aspect that we're wanting to bring online. What those officers are discovering is that for someone to say that they're you're my mentor, it's an intimate thing, right? And they feel like, and it was something that, you know, if you don't get to say you're my mentor, I get to say you're my mentor. That's something I'm just deciding. And so, but what we realized is, because we realized to back away from a formal mentoring process would be counterproductive. All right, so maybe we're not going to call it mentoring at that point. It still is. All right, it's still, you know, professional development. We're helping them, you know, develop for their future and be a better version of themselves. But, you know, if somebody's going to give somebody their mentor card, hey, you're my mentor, you know, we'll let that be something that's more intimate. But we're still going to do the process. It's just too important.
Beautiful. Love it, man.
Yeah, to add a little bit more time to think about it, like what Chief Thompson is talking about, is when you've got a negative element in there that can really take it sideways and do a lot of damage before you realize it. Pretty early on, Chief Miller, again, to her credit, she put in there that the students evaluated the educator. Mm. So this way it goes back up this way. Did this person connect with me? Did they speak well of the organization? Or were they just there bitching about the organization? All right, let's do some training, and then back to bitching about the organization. So, you know, so when you've got those catches, sometimes you can discover what your problems are and you can hear it from that source. And those evaluations didn't go through the FTO. They went through the company officer or through another source, so that at least they came around to the training division. And this way it enabled a better opportunity for the honest information to come through.
No, the data collection, just to find out how effective it is. I mean, huge, you know, API. Chief Thompson?
I think that's a great idea. I don't have anything to add, though. But I like that, where they evaluate the mentor. And
that 360, and think, yeah.
You know, Mike also made a valid point. It, you know, regardless of what we call it, and that's the other part of what I say, if not this, what? If it, you know, the important thing is having something to position our people for that future success, whether we want to call professional development or an officer's academy or whatever. As long as the information's accurate, we're doing it for the right reason, and we know what we're all working towards.
And I took that same concept. Now, we do our evaluations twice a year. We do, you know, the mid-year and final. So with the same thing, so that I'm not holding their evaluation hostage, I do their evaluation. I meet with them, a chat. And if there's problems, I try to catch up on guys all through the year. That's the way you're supposed to do it. But I also give them the opportunity afterwards, what am I doing good for you? What could I do better? Very few people want to tell their supervisor, you suck. But they would say, hey, you know, it's funny because I have a double officer house, and one officer's like, you come around too much, and the other one's like, you don't come around often enough. So I'm like, all right, I'll come by more. So, I'm sorry to disappoint you, but I'm going to make the other guy happy. I'm going 50-50 on this. But from that same concept, you know, whether I'm a mentor, I've had a couple people ask me, and I'm very humbled by the idea that people have reached out in my agency and outside. Hey, can I ask you some opinions? Can I call you sometimes for advice? Can I do this? Can I do that? And to me, that's a very high compliment, and I'm humbled to be included in that.
And it's a tremendous responsibility, also.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Like Mike said, it's an intimate relationship. I'm asking you because I see what you're modeling, and I like what you do, and I wonder what you're thinking. You know, and I don't see it from some other people, or if they are smart, they are getting it from several sources. And it's one thing I like for them to do is, listen, if you're listening from me, you're just going to get my way, and you're better off by getting it from several sources. So please make sure I'm not the only person calling, you're calling. But by having that connection with the officers, I have six great officers I get to work with. They don't work for me. They work for the Orlando Fire Department. And we all work for the citizens. But they all do it different. And I think Mike said it earlier, they don't do it like Walt, so I can't judge them like how Walt would do it. Are they meeting the mission, right? So with the downside is if we don't get that feedback as to how well are we encouraging our people or teaching them or leading them or anything, then we're not going to know if we're effective or not. And we might be just wasting our time and teaching the pig to sing, wasting our time and annoying the pig. So, we need that feedback, right?
100%, man. 100%. All right. You mentioned the mentor book earlier, Chief Thompson. Can you talk about the mentor book and its success and acceptance level and where it came from, et cetera, et cetera?
This is such a cool idea, and allow me 2 or 3 minutes to kind of expand on this because I think it's worth it. First of all, it doesn't cost anything. And if you think about it, we all probably do a good job of identifying the things that we want to instruct new people into our organizations on, right? But then there's all those other things that are part of us that we never really teach. You just kind of pick it up. And so when I got to Louisville, Rick Lasky had this idea. And just prior to me getting there, he had come up with 5 questions, and those questions are in the packet. And the deal was get that information back any way you can. Write it on a napkin, leave it on a message on the phone recorder. The thing was, and we gave it to all our members with 15 years or more experience. So we wanted them to answer these 5 questions, and most of the answers were a paragraph or two. So when I got there, Rick had a big box of napkins and receipts and all this stuff, and he handed it to me. And the first thing I did is I was carrying it across the way to Maureen, the secretary at the time. He stopped. He said, "No, I really would like you to enter all those in." Well, it didn't occur to me at the time, but why did he want me to do that?
Read it firsthand.
So I would get intimately. So I go back to my desk and it's amazing. You know, we had a guy that was a very well-respected captain, Butch Flanagan, that everybody loved. Well, Butch is gone. So there's a chance that the future generation will hear about Butch. Well, we'll never know much more than other than stories. But what they can do is they can go back to the mentor book, which is sitting on the kitchen table, open up to Butch Flanagan's responses, and there they are. You know, they have instant insight to 15 years previous in the organization from a tremendous influence in the organization. So what it basically is coming up with the questions that you want to capture. Like one of them is the history of the department. What do you like about our equipment? What buildings in the city, you know, do you never want to go to on a fire, you know, lesson learned kind of things. They put them down. Then it goes in this book. And just think about after 5 or 6 or 7 years, the knowledge that's in that book, where a firefighter can just be sitting there just flipping through and just automatically getting that institutional knowledge. Wow. So that's what it is. It's just a great way to connect generations. And to me, you know, that's maybe call that indirect mentoring. But it's certainly a cool deal.
Until I was reading the mentoring thing, I'd never heard of it. It's beautiful, man. I love it. I love
and
it.
And it doesn't cost anything.
I'm buying a record book tomorrow to put in the firehouse.
That's what I'm saying, man. But it's done deliberately. It was done deliberately with intentionality, and that's what I love, man. And,
but, you know, we're all going to be gone. And even those guys walking out the door, there'll be a piece of them that always remains that everybody in the organization has access to. I mean, there's nothing much cooler than that when you start talking about legacy.
No, and there's been guys that have retired from, you know, my department where I'm like, this place will never recover from him retiring. And what's crazy is you know, as I've gotten longer in the tooth and everything, as I've seen him walk out the door, it's like, man, the tones keep dropping, the rigs keep rolling, and it just, but so something like that is just like a living time capsule that's not buried. It's beautiful, man. That's what I wanted to ask. I wanted to start off with the mentor book and then throw it at Chief Walker and Chief Lewis and say, do you guys have anything, even, any artifacts or rituals, like that in your departments? Or things you would like to implement?
So one of the, as far as our culture, rituals that we do, one of the things, it goes back to an earlier question, is it's having that culture of mentoring within your department. Like day one, when our recruits start in the academy, we send, depending on how many people are in that recruit class, there's personnel that come to the field, and that's their job for that class, is to be those recruits' mentors. And then there's the stories, the traditions. You know, I don't know if you've seen the chain. Well, you've seen the chain that's on the wall about the anvil and the forge, about, you know, that we're all part of this links of the chain. And whenever they've earned their place, they get their link goes in that ongoing chain. And these traditions that J-Lo and Court and the guys have started. But even before that, it's just, you know, what, you know, like the old logbooks we still keep around the station. You know, it's that's one downside about the digital age. I wonder what will happen to the logbooks now that they're becoming digital.
Sure.
But, or have become digital. But yeah, telling those stories, keeping those traditions alive, the good traditions, you know, the traditions of building each other up. So that's something that came to my mind when you brought that up.
I love it, man. Chief Lewis, anything to add?
Yeah, so we've kind of, some of us have taken a little bit of a different approach, and we've been pulling more of the retirees in.
Oh.
You know, if I could do something different is, and I think a couple of our guys in the training division are working on it, is how to pay the retirees if they came out and did some teaching. But that most of them guys would come out for free. Most of the guys that have been retired a long time could deserve a couple extra bucks. But just, you know, like Scott said, when they leave, you know, or like you said, you know, they leave, how's the department going to continue running up? Well, for me, I'm going to take keys to all the trucks. They ain't going to run. So since our trucks don't have keys, that's going to be impossible. But to get the retirees to come back in, and over the last 6 months or so, we've been at least once a month, we've had a different retiree come in and tell stories, nice. Connect with us, have dinner. Just yesterday morning, we had Jan Wittinger, retired lieutenant. He's been retired since I came on, 26 years. He's coming on retirement, and fantastic. I love that he's succeeding in retirement. And one of his things he's infamous for is the kitchen sink breakfast. And here he comes. He came in an hour early to cook all the stuff he's going to put in your omelet, and you've got a buffet of stuff to put in there. And if you don't say no, he's putting it all in there. And he, one at a time, cooking out the omelets, a crew at a time, because he can't cook that many omelets. And and nobody really knew what to expect, but he was known for this. And then he may not be recognized by name, but he'll be recognized by action. And it's just to share a couple stories. But the value for Walt Lewis 10 years from now to be able to be invited back to the firehouse to sit down again and feel that firehouse vibe will be tremendous. So I'm a little selfish in the sense that I'm trying to invest that now. But for those guys to come back in, Mike Kelly came back in and talked. He was the incident commander for our last line of duty death fire. Gave his perspective. Chief Lyons came in, and he was the incident commander for Orange County's double line of duty death, and gave some really good, impactful wisdom. And just so many of these different people that have come in. We had one fire. Our bomb squad commander, former bomb squad commander, came in and gave some. He was the nozzle man on the same fire that was our last line of duty. So all these different perspectives, but the connectivity for them to come back in, they leave with 25, 30 years of wisdom learned along the hard way, and they could be an easy supplement to the workforce we need to bolster as the training division. And most of those guys would love to come out for a half day, full day, what have you, even a one day or. And share their wisdom and a little bit of something and be a part of it. So I think it's an untapped resource that more of us can capitalize on. And for that right there, you can get some of those older guys. And what we've had in our fire museum, we've got a beautiful fire museum. If you come to Orlando, please, please, please come visit our fire museum.
Okay.
So really cool stuff. And a lot of our senior retirees are there with a lot of younger service guys and sitting there and sharing stories. And then these guys are telling the stories with the mentor right there. Of they're doing the run through the museum with the guy right there helping to sub out the story, so the stories don't die.
Right,
and that's one of my favorite things that's going on there. So
beautiful, man.
Props to Chief too for getting that started, and the chiefs that are everybody keeping that going.
Experience is most valued when it's shared, right? You know.
Yep.
And well said.
An experience is one of those things you wish you had 5 seconds after you earned it.
right.
No doubt about it. Beautiful. Okay. So I always ask books that you think firefighters should be reading on every scrap, but today it's a mega scrap. So I'm specifically asking, is there book or books that firefighters should be reading if they want to up their mentoring game? So I will throw it to Chief Thompson first.
I have got a great one that I'm excited about. It's not brand new out, but it's called Atomic Habits. And I tell you what, it's been a game changer for me. I say that about every book I read, but it really has. And it explains, you know, when I first picked it up, I thought, you know, the whole habit thing, but it explains so many things in the world that I live in, and the things that I try to do as a leadership influence. So I would certainly jump out with that one and say it's worth your time by David Clear, I believe is the author.
Is that the one with the Keystone Habits, or is that a different habit book? The Keystone, I'm trying to remember, but that one. Anyway, go ahead. Sorry, I don't want to distract. Chief Walker.
The one we just did a book study on this, Corley, the one you that unfortunately we weren't able to get you out as Leadership and Self-Deception.
Oh, okay,
but that book that you just held up, that lady's out of Australia, that book you're reading there. And that's an excellent book on just how to mentor. She does give very good practical advice that if you're the mentor or you're the learner on how to go through that. So that's
sorry,
a good book.
I thought there. That's where you were going. Sorry.
That's all right, man.
Go,
that's good.
Go Leadership Self-Deception, because it's one of my favorite books in the world.
That one is just, you know, that was a good discussion as far as, you know, how to be towards other people, which is something that, you know, that's really important. So that was the last one we're doing, but there's, you know, a ton of books I could go over. But
absolutely. Chief Lewis.
There's a bunch. I mean, Functional Fire Company, definitely. You know, not because the author's in the room,
no,
but certainly it definitely applies. So
absolutely.
Some of the other ones that are out there, I'm a Lou Holtz fan. I'm a Notre Dame guy. You know, I've met the man a couple of times. He is a wonderful gentleman. He's got two books that I really liked. The one was Wins, Losses, and Lessons, and then Winning Every Day. So he's got those two. And then there's another one, Forged in Crisis. So Jason Hovelman advertised that one. And man, that would it, and I'm an audiobook guy because I'm really good at sleeping with a book on my face.
Right.
So I'm a lot better with driving and listening to a book. All the trips I take, I'm listening to a book, a podcast and stuff. And that's where I need three of me to be able to catch up on all the things I want to do, because I get inspired. I mean, from all the different podcasts and everything else, I want to do all these different things.
Absolutely.
It's time in the day, because there's a wife and some children that want my attention too. And, I got to make them the priority.
You got to figure out that clone thing.
Yes.
Just need three Walt Lewis's.
My luck is I'd be like Multiplicity, and the second me would be like, I like pizza. You know, I'd be some wacko or something. Just, you know, totally dysfunctional.
I love it. All right. So normally we do the five questions for firefighters, but all of you have answered the five questions for firefighters. So we're going to do the Mega Scrap Alpha Specific Questions, which is all about mentoring. And I'm going to rotate the answers. So number one question is, who was your biggest mentor? I'm starting with Chief Walt Lewis. Go ahead.
My brother, John. He was so elated to have a little kid brother at 9 years old, and got in the firehouse, showed me what that was. Didn't mean to, you know, but just it was always there, and he's always done the right thing. My older brother Greg, you know, he was there too, but he ended up moving to Florida, so he didn't have as much connectivity to me. But my family being the big thing, but my brother John.
Beautiful. Mike Walker.
Be my dad and my granddad, you know, in my formative years, and then throughout the years, it's been different people, you know, depending on the rank, and grateful to every one of them.
Absolutely, man, I love it. Chief Thompson,
man, I'm trying to pick one. You know, I'm going to say Rick Lasky was probably, you know, my greatest professional mentor. It's between him and my very first captain, but. I'll give him honorable mention, but Rick certainly was a huge influence in mentoring and introduced me to mentoring. So there you go, right? The circle connects.
Yeah. It's just, yeah, beautiful, man. Question two, starting with Chief Walker, would you rather receive the best mentoring or give the best mentoring? I don't know if I could word that better, but go ahead.
Give? Yeah.
Any explanation or just give?
I like to teach. I like to do that. So it's to be able to be of use to someone else is a huge honor.
Love it. Chief Thompson.
I'm going to be selfish. Man, I want to receive. I want to be mentored by that person who's going to challenge me, you know, to the next level, and who's going to push me and who's going to see things in me that I don't realize in myself. And again, you know, I love teaching, and I hope I'm a mentor when called, but in order to be a better mentor, I've got to be a better student, I think, and I've got to expand my knowledge and skills. So I'm gonna go the opposite a route on that for strictly selfish reasons.
Love it. I love both answers. For that. And I got Chief Lewis, who's the tiebreaker. Yeah, no pressure at all.
Not one bit. So so I'm gonna go for the tie on the whole thing. So I'm gonna do the receiving so that I can give better later.
There you go.
To actually split it? Okay, I'll let it slide.
So you had time to take in both answers.
All right. Excuse me. Final question. The most important quality, we kind of touched on this already, but most important quality, single quality, gun to your head type, you know, question. And I know there's too many answers, but most important quality to possess to be a good mentor. I'm starting with Chief Scott.
So one word. Accurate.
Accurate. I like it. Chief Lewis.
I've used the word a couple times, grace.
Final answer. Chief Walker.
It's grace.
I love it, man. Accurate, grace, man. There it is. Officially, the first time ever, Mega Scrap Alpha specific questions answered today. What a beautiful panel. What a beautiful discussion. Anything you guys want to add? Anything we didn't touch on that you guys really want to get out there before I just cut it off?
No, I'm thrilled to be in the room with these guys, and I've been friends with them a number of years. I remember seeing Scott at FDIC walking with Chief Lasky, and I got to say I'm a little jealous to not have ever served with him. But, man, what a cool opportunity, and I'm really glad that you're sharing the, you know, with the fire service all that you are. So thank you, because I've learned from you, from both of you, and thanks for helping me get home to my family better.
And I extend the same to you guys, man. Through the hot days and all that, Walt and Mike, we recently become friends and call each other, and I learn volumes from both of you. So thank you for mentoring and coaching me.
Beautiful.
And huge honor to be here.
It's fun, man. This was one of the coolest honors ever, because the original Mega Scrap was supposed to be on Written Mayday. And it was not my idea. It was Jim McCormick. I'll give FDTN all the credit. He's the one who said, hey, do this with – he wanted Basil, Rob, Ramirez, and himself to discuss it. And I'm like, all for it. Circumstances completely outside of anybody's control. It fell through, you know, a week out. And I called you guys, and it was meant to be, because every one of you said, yeah, I'm available that day. I can do it. And I'm telling you, man, I was grinning like a Cheshire cat, so – it's beautiful, man. You guys,
I told you, Corley, I'll come on anytime you ask, buddy. You do a great job, and thank you for your preparation and making this thing the top podcast out there is as far as interaction goes and taking questions from your audience. I love it, and I tune in every chance I get, buddy.
I love it, and I can't thank you guys enough. Okay, so house cleaning, and then I'll wrap it up. Let me see. Pull up my notes. Officially, Scrap 118 in the books. Not just that, but a Mega Scrap that actually was successful. It didn't blow up in my face. So beautiful, guys. Thank you for being awesome, gracious, and beautiful. If someone wants to get a hold of any of you, do you guys have anything you want to plug? I'll just start at the top for me. Chief Thompson, anything you want to throw out there?
No, keep an eye open. I have something else that I want to offer to the fire service that I'm in the process of proofing and it's going to have to do with training in the suburbs, and I'm kind of putting the final touches on it, but I get asked a lot about it, and it's stuff that we've developed as a team, so I don't have any rights to it. I'm just going to put it together and put it out there, and my hope is it'll have the same success that the mentoring did, but again, I just wanted to put out there for people to use. Don't give me any credit. Just make your people better. So that'll come in the next week or so, I hope.
Oh, Merry beautiful. Christmas. So coming in. Yeah. Merry Christmas. I love that. And it's on the same business model, the same terrible business model as the mentoring program, basically, is what you're saying?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Fair enough.
Yeah, I keep getting things from my website that says, hey, you're a store. You're supposed to sell this stuff, not give it away. You know.
Beautiful.
Somebody gave it to me.
If people want to get a hold of you, ask questions. Chief Lewis, go ahead.
You know, Scott, what you could do is put a little place to contribute. If you feel it's valuable information, donate to this.
Like a little boot or something there. Put some money in the boot. There you go. Donate.
It's a beautiful idea. I love it.
Maybe the Ray Downey. Ray Downey, Courage and Valor. How about that?
There you go. Or the Colony Benevolent Association or something, you know?
Yeah, there you go.
For me, it's easy. And when you use AOL, you know, like one of five people using AOL, it still works. So OFDWJL@AOL.com or Gmail, same OFDWJL@Gmail. Orlando Fire Department, come by Firehouse One.
Beautiful. Chief Walker, best way to get a hold of you if people want to bother you?
405-650-4211 or walkerm2@cox.net is my personal email. The plug I want to make is for this guy who's teaching this class called the 9 L's of Leadership. He's come out and taught it to our department a few times, and the guys absolutely love it. And it's who I'm plugging is Corley.
Thank you.
We are getting big reviews from his class. So if you're looking for a good class on leadership, hit Corley up, man. He's doing a really good job on that.
I appreciate you, Chief. I'm terrible at taking compliments, so I say thank you.
I'm so bad. Not the 10 L's, it's 9.
Nine. Yeah, don't mistake it. 9.
Well, I don't want to give away the ending, but there's a hidden L. So technically.
10 is right out.
Okay.
So it's like it's French. It's like it's silent, right?
Yes, it's the hidden L, the secret L, and it's not an L. So technically, there's only 9. Okay. You guys have got me completely bamboozled. Final scrap of 2021 coming up on the 27th. Dennis Laguerre. We're going to get nerdy with water and hydraulics, and it's going to be fun. Then to kick off the new year in style on January 1, LT, Ray McCormick, is kicking it off in style, and we're going to do it with a bang because it's going to be the brand new 5 questions. So I'm excited about that. All new 5 questions for firefighters. The next place I'm heading out of state is CF Tactics Fire School. And then shortly after that, I'm going to Orlando Fire Conference. So I'll meet Walt Lewis in person finally for the first time, which I'm pretty excited about. If you see me out and about, get a picture with me because I love taking pictures and saying, mutts don't scrap. So that's it. Shout out to the newest supporters, John Hawking, Amanda Miller, Nicholas Carlson. Thank you guys. I never want to run ads on this thing, so I appreciate you. Remember, mutts don't scrap. I want to thank you so much to each and every one of you, my guests, Mike Walker, Chief, thank you. Chief Walt Lewis, thank you. And Chief Scott Thompson, thank you, man, for making this awesome mega scrap.
Thank you, Corley.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thanks to the audience for being a part, for making this what it is.
The audience, I can never say thank you enough to them. I hope the tone stays silent. Unless it is burning, everybody stay safe out there.
Thanks for listening to the Weekly Scrap. Please subscribe and please share. We'll see you at the next episode.